Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hard to believe, but it's been 11 years since going to India. And I remember while particularly riding the train, and it was after dark, that I got a kick out of these mud huts. But you could see the glow of a TV in what was a mud hut. And I looked at, from the place that we were staying, that I looked out the window, and Roger, you would have known it was atrocious the way that they hooked up wire after wire after wire, all in the same, you know, there was 20, 30 wires that were hooked in to this. Now, that was an improvement from what there had been. At one time, there were missionaries that they had a generator, and that it was just enough to basically provide one light and just a little bit more for some of the services for the missionaries. Well, there was an Indian that liked seeing this light and so asked if he could have one of the lights. And the missionary, not really thinking much about it, thought, well, he just wanted a trinket of sorts. So he gave him one of the light bulbs. And at one point, the missionary went by, saw this hut, and he looked in. And what the Indian had done is he had tied it to a string and was hanging it from the ceiling. Now, the thing is that you're not going to get much light out of hooking a light bulb to a string. And I know, I mean, the account was that the missionary kind of smiled because in the innocence of what he was thinking, he had seen this, what appeared to be a string, not realizing it required it to be hooked to an electric wire. As we meet this evening, we have as a text Jesus telling an important element, and it's our connection, our true source of power, of life, the life source, and how we are to continue that source, that power that is connected to the true source. Jesus used the analogy, very common there, of a vineyard, you know, the vine and the branches. And he was speaking, just as electricity provides power necessary for even a bulb to light up, so a vine produces the flow of life that's necessary for the branches to produce fruit. The passage has, Jesus is the vine. God, the Father, is the vine grower or the vine dresser. And the true believers are the branches. As branches, we are spiritually alive as we are connected to Jesus. If we are connected through the true vine. And as long as we're connected to Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit can run in us and through us. It keeps us spiritually alive. It produces fruit. Our gospel reading has three primary messages in it. There is the element of pruning. There is fruit bearing. And then there is abiding. Now, first of all, we've got the pruning. It starts out discussing pruning. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to bear more fruit. And Jesus says that it is God the Father who prunes the branches in order that they bear fruit and to allow the branch, as more is pruned, to bear more fruit. Vines left alone, they'll go every direction. And they will produce huge canopies. They'll shoot out leaves and branches. But a vine will not, in that case, yield much fruit. At first, pruning may seem like it's counterproductive. For what you're pruning, you're doing so that even the one that is most healthy is being pruned. I've shared this illustration many times from when I first started growing raspberries. This was in Michigan, where it's a lot easier to grow raspberries there. A member had some raspberry branches and plants that were not in the sun enough, and so they never produced any raspberries. And they asked if I'd like them, so sure enough, man, I love raspberries. So I went and I transplanted them, I put them behind the garage. And each day I would go back there when I'd come home and I would look and I'd admire these raspberries. And I began, there were some blossoms that already the first year were coming on them. Well, I came home one day to find the stalks were half the height that they had been. They had been snipped. And I made a beeline for the house. I am fairly upset. What happened to my raspberry plants? To which Karen said, well, Harry Mulgren was over. He planted some bulbs for next spring, but he also looked around to see what else, and you had raspberries. He asked, how long had they been there? They'd only been there less than a year. So snip, 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 snip. He said, you need to allow them to grow the roots first before you start producing the berries. We moved before we ever got one berry off of it. He was right in terms of the necessity, but I found it very difficult. I would not probably have done it at that time, and so it's a good thing that somebody else, and in this case, when we look at the Father, God the Father being the one who does the pruning, He knows what He is doing in order to produce fruit and more fruit. A vine that looks healthy is not necessarily going to bear much fruit. And when that is the case, you can have a beautiful plant and it may be show and no tell. It seems that Jesus is concerned about disciples who might be facing the same problem. Jesus was not interested in showy disciples any more than he's interested in showy Christians. Jesus is interested in fruit. Now, I have learned a little bit in terms of pruning. One of the things that I noticed when on the farm, apple trees, they'd get sucker shoots that would come out, and one of the things you had to do is you had to snip those off in order that the strength of the apple tree would be going into the other apples. The years that we had kept some of those sucker shoots, you get those little baby apples that produce nothing. I mean, they're not worth anything. And so you have to clean those out. You've got to clean out the dead wood. And basically, it's that there can be suckers that we have that produce or actually zap the resources that we need. The suckers in this world seek to draw our spiritual life from us. They seek to rob us of our daily quiet time with the Lord. Seeks to rob us, and they must be removed. Whatever that is must be cut away in order for us to bear fruit and to be transformed. Pruning, and this is important, pruning is not a punishment. It is done that the vine can produce even more fruitful. Pruning sounds destructive, but it's really creative. Another encounter that I've noticed, and I don't have enough patience for this, is that at the zoo, but also at Disney World, when you visit there, you find all of these hedge-type plants that are growing amazing shapes. Ones that you can recognize. I mean, you can actually tell there's a Mickey Mouse or there's a Donald Duck. Well, that requires trimming the bushes regularly and being able to shape them into the form that the one that is shaping them is seeking to produce. In a similar way, God the Father prunes our lives to shape us. And remember, what is the image that He is shaping us into? The image of His Son. To be more like Christ. Sometimes this pruning involves removing sin or other distractions from our lives. You know, sometimes pruning is painful. But over time, God is changing us again to make us more like His Son. It is the Father who is the vine dresser. And if you remember in the second lesson, why does He do that? God is love. God loves us. Because He loves us, He prunes us in order to allow us to bear much more fruit. And what is it? What happens? He receives the glory from it. You know, if the branches could speak, they would probably confess. The pruning hurts. I've always liked C.S. Lewis's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. In one of them, in The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, there is a cousin of the four children, Eustace Scrub. He's selfish, he's a brat, he's immature, he's only thinking about himself on this voyage. But there comes this occasion where he wanders off and he finds a cave. And in the cave he finds a ring, a bracelet type of ring. It was so large he put it on his arm. He fell asleep. And when he woke up, he felt something tight on his arm. And he scratched at it. Here what happened was that ring had tightened because there was something magic in that bracelet. He turned into a dragon. Only when he walked out and he felt the tightness that he looked into the water and was shocked to see, even though he felt himself inside, he was a dragon. And as he attempted to try to scrape off the scales, he could not do it himself. And finally, what ends up happening is that it requires Aslan, the lion, who is the Christ figure, to come. And Eustace describes it this way. He said, "This is what the lion said, but I don't know if he spoke. He said, 'You will have to let me undress you. I was afraid of his claws, I can tell you, but I was pretty nearly desperate. So I just lay flat on my back and let him do it. The very first tear he made was so deep that I thought it had gone right to my heart. And when he began to pull the skin off, it hurt worse than anything I could ever think that I've ever felt. The only thing that made me able to bear it was just the pleasure of feeling that stuff peel off.'" That is how it is with pruning. We would rather to do it ourselves, but we can't. We can't get the scales off and we can't go deep enough. Even if we could, we probably would not remove what really needs to go. The truth is that we would avoid cutting whatever was necessary from our life. Psalm 119:67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word." Once he has begun the pruning. In verse 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted so that I might learn your decrees." James had a similar experience as he taught the truth in James 1, 2, and following. "Dear brothers, is your life full of difficulties and temptations? Then be happy, for when the way is rough, your patience has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and don't try to squirm out of your problems. For when your patience is finally in full bloom, then you will be ready for anything, strong in character, full and complete." Yes, it can be and is often painful, but it is also something in which we are able to rejoice. because it is able to produce more, and not only more, but better fruit. You know, one thing we'll never see is a branch pruning another branch. The responsibility of pruning, shaping, trimming the vines is not of the other branches. That responsibility is the Father and His alone. And the thing we can take comfort in is our Heavenly Father, when He is pruning, is never nearer than when He is pruning you and I. And at times He will cut away dead wood that could cause trouble. But oftentimes He cuts away even living tissue that will rob us of spiritual vigor. Pruning does not simply mean spiritual surgery. It is not just removal of what is dead. It means cutting away even of the good and the better so that we might enjoy the best. So there's pruning, but there's also fruit bearing. Now, some suggest fruit bearing to be that of leading others to Jesus Christ, and that could apply. But this text is not really implying that. The application is speaking of spiritual life flowing through the vine. The spiritual life produces a spiritual fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, 22 and following. By contrast, the fruit of the Spirit, and its fruit is singular. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And remember, the branches do not eat the fruit of their own. It's others that receive and eat the fruit. So we're not producing fruit to please ourselves. It is produced to give to and to serve others. A true branch, one that is connected to the vine, will always bear fruit. Now, not every branch will have a bumper crop. Just like every field is different, it will vary from branch to branch or from field to field. That's always the case with the fruit. But the branch will have the same DNA as what the trunk is, as the source. Okay, if God's DNA is love, which it is, then our DNA should be love, God's love. So there is pruning, there is fruit bearing, and then the third one is abiding. Abiding in love. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. The word is clear. We are called to be transformed into the image of Jesus and to abide in His love. The more we abide in the vine, the more fruit we will bear. The more fruit that we will bear, the more the Father will prune us. The more He prunes us, the greater quantity and quality of fruit is produced in us. And again, the biblical image of the vine, the deep sense, is connectedness. The connectedness of the vine with the branches that's in us. The better we're connected, the more we are transformed. The spiritual transformation comes from being connected. It is not from our own effort. Suppose someone walks over to a vine and yells, "Start producing fruit!" Nothing's going to happen, is it? Once the vine grower has done his work, all the branches have to do in order to bear fruit is to stay connected to the vine. Abide, abide, stay connected to the vine. That's a passive response. In order to produce fruit. Jesus said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bears much fruit. Because apart from me, you cannot do anything. You can do nothing." So command is not to produce fruit. The command is what? Abide. To abide. Abide in Christ. Abide in the vine. And the fruit will come naturally because the power is coming through the vine, through Christ. So it's God producing the fruit in us. If we abide in Christ, we will bear fruit. We don't work at it. We don't agonize over it. We don't have to struggle to produce the fruit. The vine brings the fruit about naturally. If we abide, remain connected in the vine. When we abide in Christ, we stay at the center of God's will. And when we abide in Christ, He opens our spiritual eyes so that we're able to see where He's at work and join Him. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, we cannot conform to His image. We can't produce His likeness unless we abide in the vine. Abide in Jesus. It's through the branches that God offers the grapes of heavenly Cana even. The loving hands of the Father prunes us in order that much fruit may be produced. So, abide in the vine. Let the power of the Holy Spirit flow in and through to transforming you and me into His Son's likeness. This is what He desires and promises. We remain if we abide, if we are connected to the vine, which is Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior, the true vine, our living Lord.